Join me in Romans chapter 4, please. We are continuing our short walk through the book of Romans and his teaching of justification. So join me in Romans 4, verses 1 through 12. Hear the inerrant, inspired, infallible word of the Holy God. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from the works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them all, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. I pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of his word. Just one brief note, this language about being circumcised, uncircumcised, just read simply, being circumcised meant following the law. Being uncircumcised meant you were outside the law, and the law had no place in your faith. But I'll do that further and deeper as we get there. First of all, about this text in general, quite opposite to what has been said about what we covered last week in chapter 3. If you remember the portion of chapter 3 that we covered the last 2 weeks, I pointed out that there were many who would say that was the greatest paragraph ever written in holy text. That chapter 3, verses 21 through 26 form the very heart of Paul's teaching throughout the 16 chapters of the book of Romans. And it was that statement that the righteousness of God has been made manifest, has been made known through Jesus Christ, and that statement is the very bedrock of the gospel message. Well, we come to this portion of Paul's writing in chapter 4, and if anything, the exact opposite is said. Many will bypass this portion of chapter 4, saying that there is little interest and no weight in it at all for us. That this argument that Paul is putting forth makes this whole exposition, this whole teaching, to seem very remote and unenlightening. I hope he prayed for forgiveness whenever he wrote that about holy text. I cannot see holy text being remote or unenlightening. Challenging? Yes. So I ask the question, what are we to make of this text? As I said, many will not even preach this. Many will not write commentary on this. Many will go right over it and go, let's move to chapter 5. But we cannot do that, as we pointed out in Sunday school this morning. We take the whole of God's holy written word. So let's dig in. Paul is continuing his teaching on justification, that the believer is declared righteousness and justified as a gift from God through Christ alone. And there is nothing that we can do about this. Now, more specifically, Paul is addressing the Jewish nation here. Paul is addressing the Jewish nation and the notion that their righteousness before God was given to them through natural birth. That because they were born into the culture of the Jewish nation, that they were born into the lineage of Abraham, they are therefore righteous as God's people. Well, to disprove them, Paul goes right to the head of the family and he goes to Abraham, who the Jews have glorified and still glorify to this day as the most renowned forefather, as being righteous simply by being who he was. And they take that from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. So if you would please join me there. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. And you might stick your bulletin there at chapter 15 because I'm going to be back in just a little while. How could a person believe that Abraham is justified and righteous in his own actions, therefore not under the graceful gift of God? Chapter 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward the heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteous. That statement, verse 6, and he believed, Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteous. The thinking for those who are under the reign of the law, look at this statement, look at the life of Abraham, and they honor Abraham for mustering within himself the belief. Yes, he sees God, he hears him, but because Abram was smart enough to recognize that, and then he believed, therefore God counted it as righteous, counted him as blessed, because he could realize. And so they boast in their rightful descendancy of this man who saw God, believed him, and God said, You're a righteous man. But folks, I'll give you, that is not the teaching of this text. Nor is it the teaching of Romans chapter 4, of which we just left. While Abraham was exalted in many ways, he is acknowledged as the father of the nation of Israel, but he has nothing to boast in the presence of God. Now, if you would, like I said, put your bulletin there. We'll be back, but go back with me to Romans chapter 4. Yeah, we're going to be back and forth. Paul says, Romans 4, 1, What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. You see, here Paul is saying, yeah, Abraham could boast, because he was the father of a nation, and he was blessed greatly. And he might boast to someone else about his cattle, about his lands, about the numbers of servants and the numbers of people following along with him. But he better not do it before God. If he did gain righteousness by his own works, then he should not boast. Paul goes on to say, What do the scriptures say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, I will confess to you that if we take this verse that I've just given you, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, that if we take that, as well as the verse 6 in chapter 15 of Genesis, with no other guidance from the whole of written text, then I can see how one might find themselves putting that position in Abraham. If we narrow ourselves to the very cursory reading of that statement, Abraham believed God. God saw that he was believed. Righteousness is yours. I could see how one might go in that direction of saying that is what Abraham did. But as I said, that would be horribly wrong. That would be horribly wrong. As we spoke about in Sunday school, and as I've told you many, many times, encouraged you many times, we do not build our biblical thinking at the verse level. We do not take out a singular verse and build our theology or our belief off of a single verse. We take the entire holy text. And so that's what I would give you. Now, sorry, but go back with me to Genesis 15. I want to walk you through Genesis chapter 15. And this is the Old Testament text that the Jewish nation had in their hands. This is what they would have read. Exclude the Romans passage for now. This is what they would have read. And I hope I can point out to you the error of their thinking. First of all, verse 1 of chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. What has Abraham done to, excuse me, Abram? What has Abram done to this point? Zip. Nothing. It is God who said, I am your shield. Move down to verse 7. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. I am the Lord who brought you out. I am the Lord who called you. I am the one who woke up your old dead spirit and said, come with me. What has Abraham done to this point? Nothing. Nothing. Now, Abram did follow. But who brought him out? Who planted within his heart that desire to leave his family, to leave his neighbors, to leave his comfort, and to go to a place many argue he'd never been to before? And then there is this ancient ritual that begins at verse 9. He said to him, to Abram, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against each other, meaning he separated them. But he did not cut the birds in half, and when the birds of prey came down, the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, verse 12, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Move to verse 17. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I will give you this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Now, here is an ancient ritual that in the olden days, when a covenant, a contract, much stronger than a contract, a covenant made between two individuals, this right would accompany the agreement in order to hold each of them accountable. These animals that were cut in half and laid apart, a path was created between them. The two individuals making a covenant would then grasp hands and walk that path between these carcasses, these dead animals, and they would repeat the covenant, the agreement they had made with each other. And then they would say, Be the same with me as it is with these animals if I default. If I don't keep my end of the covenant, then it may it be with me just as it is with these animals. Okay, no big deal, no problem. A little weird, but no big deal. But notice who is making the covenant with who. And who is fast asleep. The smoking pot and the flaming torch, as hard as that is for us to grasp in our minds, was that symbolic picture of God moving through those animals with God. Abram, the covenant was made with Abram, but Abram was the beneficiary of the covenant. So again, I ask the question, who is doing what? Who is moved in Abram's heart? Who is the one who put this forward, bringing the blessing of God to Abram? It is God. Abram has done nothing. Abraham has done nothing. Now, he does follow God. He does go to the land given him. He does go to the way and place that God has given him. But see, this is where we have to look within text and see that God has made a covenant, and he is the one who's going to uphold the covenant. Abraham could keep every aspect of the law if he could, and it would not fulfill the covenant. It would not fulfill the law. So why was Abraham counted as righteous? Because he was a great man? Because he was called out of the Ur of the Chaldeans and he was obedient, took his entire family and moved to another land? I did that. Not quite as far as he went, but I moved from Huntersville up here with everything I had. So I'm counted as righteous. Hardly. Go with me back to Romans chapter 4, please. It is God. It is God, not the law. It is God, not our obedience. It is God who moves in the lives and the hearts of the people to change them, to bring them about to a place where they even know or recognize Him. Verse 4, Romans chapter 4. Now the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. If Abraham was given righteousness of God because of his works, then if he was given a righteousness, that was indebted to him. It's like I used to tell the folks at Duke Energy when I was working in HR and in counseling, et cetera, and they would come to me and say, Duke Power owes me. Duke Power owes me. They cannot. That Duke Power owes me. I said, wait a minute. Did you get your check last week? Yep. I said, then we're all square. You contracted with them for a certain number of hours. You got paid for those hours. We're square. They owe you nothing. Oh, but I've done. And you were paid. That's this argument here. If Abraham was righteous because of his works, okay, he's righteous. He got paid. What is he going to boast before God? Nothing. He just got simply the outcome of his works. But that is not faith. That is not faith. Look at verse 5. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness, as righteous. See, here is the gift of faith. As much as we would like to think we're good people, as much as we'd like to think we're okay, as much as we like to think we're reaching out to our neighbors and we're caring for the shut-ins and we're taking care of all this, you are still dead in your sin. I am still dead in my sin. But when the righteousness of God was made known to us through Jesus Christ, and that faith implanted within me, and then I could believe, I, just like Abraham, is counted as righteous. Paul could have stopped there with the great icon, Abraham, because the Jewish person holds Abraham in such high regard, but he didn't stop there. He went on and brought out another great icon in their history, King David. King David simply said, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man against whom the Lord will not count his sin." David isn't even regarding the law. He's going straight for the blessing. You're a sinner, dead in your trespasses, and blessed is the one who is forgiven. Every one of us in the room ought to say, amen, thank you. Amen and thank you. Now let me add, just as one other sidebar to this argument, that Abraham and King David were not righteous in their own regard. It only takes a real brief view of history to find out these two men were far from righteous. Abraham gave his wife away into a potentially adulterous affair, arguing that it was his sister because she was so pretty. I look forward to meeting her. And King David did commit adultery and then murdered the man of the woman. Righteous people, right? No. But both of them saved by grace. Both of them saved by grace. Just as you and I are every day, believers are justified by faith, and then we are declared as righteous before God. As Paul goes on to here, as I alluded to earlier, he clearly points out from Scripture that Abraham was justified before the lawful demands of circumcision. before the lawful demands of baptism, as we see it in the New Testament, justified before. Circumcision couldn't save, just like baptism cannot save. It's only a sign. It's only a seal of a work already done. And see, here's the point. Abraham is the forefather of a great nation. However, it is not the civic, geographical nation of Israel. But he is the forefather of the Christian church. You've heard me say many times, and all due respect, I don't think we have any Jewish descendants in here, but all due respect to the descendants of the Jewish nation. A believer in Jesus Christ is more Jewish than the one born in the lineage of Abraham. Tim, how on earth can you say that? That's what this text is arguing. Go to Romans chapter 9, and he makes the case even stronger. Because he is the forefather of those who have believed. He is the forefather of those who have been declared righteous. He is the forefather of those whom Jesus Christ has saved. King David is my brother. Abraham is my brother. Sarah, my sister. And all those great saints of the Old Testament. I am of the line and the lineage of David. Yeah. In Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. Why? Because I keep the law and I'm declared. No. No. Because of grace. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This applies to Abraham. It applies to David. It applies to me. It applies to you. But you have to address that statement for all who believe. For all who believe. Do you believe? Is that faith implanted in your heart through the work of the Holy Spirit after Jesus completed what he was given to do? Is that faith implanted in your heart? And do you believe? I see some heads nodding. I don't see all heads nodding. I see some eyes falling shut. Bad time for eyes to be falling shut, folks. Yeah, chapter 4, the first half of chapter 4, we could look at it and go, circumcised, uncircumcised, righteousness, Abraham. What has this got to do with me? It is proving and validating the point that I have nothing to boast in. I stand here before God empty-handed. Actually, I should be laying on my face before God empty-handed with nothing to say, oh, look at me. No. No. I should be so overwhelmed that God not only looked at me, but named me to be one of his own. Named you to be one of his own. Why do we worship the Lord God? A, because he said to. But that worship should be a natural, what is the word, wellspring? I think that's scriptural. That flow of living water coming up out of us. The worship of God should just come by natural tendencies. When we acknowledge and understand and see the wonder and the beauty of all of this, and given that God recognizes us when we're dead in our trespasses, worship should be easy. This church should be full every time the doors are open. I can't wait to get to the next opportunity. Oh, but I got family coming today. I can't come. Oh, I got ball, the kids have got balls, so I can't come today. Maybe God ain't done for you what he did for me. Counted as righteous, declared as righteous before God Almighty. Oh, we all are thankful.